Christmas to you, and I'll just use the pulpit mic, fellas, and Merry Christmas to each of you. I appreciate you being faithful tonight on this Christmas Eve service. We said that it would be an abbreviated service, and it is. I do want to acknowledge our visitor. Eileen, you want to introduce your guest to us? From Georgia. Bless your heart. All that traffic that you have over there. We laughed the other day. Someone posted, Debbie was reading it to me on Facebook, that Van Drive has gotten as bad as Atlanta, Georgia. And I was just convinced they'd never been to Atlanta their whole life, you know. I had a son that was on staff at a church in Atlanta, and it was faster for him to ride a bike to the church than it was to drive the car. I mean, literally, it was an hour, about 30 minutes to get there by bike, and an hour, hour and a half. So welcome, and we're glad to have you here. I think everybody else has been here once or twice before. I want to speak just a few minutes about the sweet peas of celebrating Christmas. Matthew 2, let's look there, just two verses there. And then I want to read something. I should have blown the print up some so I could see it better. But I want to read something to you by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. In Matthew 2, the Bible says in verse 10, "And when they saw the star," this is the wise man, the star had eluded them for some time. And that was their compass. That was their means of finding the Messiah, the Christ child. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house," now let me say that this is not a stable. This is a house. This isn't a manger. This isn't baby Jesus. This is a older Jesus. Matter of fact, it says, "And they saw the young child." Now, David and I argue about the age of this. Neither one of us know, but I think I know more than she does. I think he's probably about 2 years old. Debbie, she thinks that I don't have any reason for saying that. But I think that when we get to heaven, we'll see that I was right in that. So the wise men have come to a house, not a stable. They see a young child, not a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. A lot of people say when they get to heaven, they're going to ask Jesus why this and why that. I think we'll fall down and worship him, don't you? For sure. I don't think the wise aren't going to matter to us. And worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold. Gold represents his deity. He's the King of Kings. Frankincense. Frankincense represents the sweet smelling savor of his life, sinless, without gall. And myrrh, it is bitter and represents his death, the purpose that he came here in the first place. Tomorrow morning we're going to get up and we're going to be excited as we always are on Christmas Day. Now, we did things different in our home, and I so much enjoyed our children at home. I really miss that, and I see some of you young couples, and I think, man, you ought to have the world by the tail. And those were some great, they were difficult days and hard days, but they were great days. And we would get our kids gifts, and we would wrap them up underneath the tree. And they would fill them and they would figure out what we had got them. So I went to a number code system, BR549. 27-52-15, 13-15-16, and then 10-10-10-2. And I had the names logged in because I wouldn't remember them. So they were filling all the gifts to see, but they didn't know which ones. None of them had their name on it. When they became teenagers, we would take, I felt like, a substantial amount of money and put it in an envelope, and we'd put it on their plate at Thanksgiving. And then Friday is Black Friday. I take them out shopping. Now, I've not been on Black Friday for a blue moon. I was much more patient back then. I wouldn't do well today. Somebody be saying shots fired over at the mall parking lot. And we'd sit down at Thanksgiving and they would share what they were thankful for. They'd open their envelope. We'd take them Black Friday. They'd buy their Christmas. They'd come home and wrap it and put it underneath the tree. They always got just exactly what they wanted for Christmas. You know, that's the way we did things. We often, usually would let them open one gift on Christmas Eve night. And tomorrow we'll celebrate Christmas. And I want to give you four sweet peas while we do so. Years ago, we had a dear brother who was just a dear man. He was a bit eccentric, a little bit. And for the first, I guess, 5 or 6 years I pastored here, it was his custom to stand at the door and to pass out a print-off that saying that nowhere in the Bible does it say we should observe Christmas or celebrate Christmas. And if you can show me somewhere in the Bible why we should celebrate Christmas, I'll give you $100. Now, what was always interesting to me, when he passed this out, he'd have a big white sweatshirt on with a Christmas tree with the lights in it that would flash. And I'm thinking, if you don't believe in celebrating it and you're handing this out, why are you wearing this? But he was kind of eccentric. He was a dear brother, loved the Lord, and I loved him very much. And he was my senior. If you'd been younger than me, I'd say, sit down, don't pass that junk out anymore. That's what I'd say. I'm glad I'm almost 68, and I trump most people now. I just say, Moses, sit down, don't pass that out, Jameson, sit down, don't do that. Rick, let's go eat the taco. he would do that. So I never had really considered it. So I began to study the Bible about it. Now, I have a message on why Christians should celebrate Christmas. This is not it. But I did think about this. Where did the celebration of his birth start? And who says it was December 25th? And where did that come from? Some of you who were with us in Israel, if you remember our guide, we were over there in February, and the shepherds were in the field with their sheep. And our guide told us, many would say that Christmas 25th could not be possible because the shepherds are in the field in the summertime. But as you see, we're in the fields today, and we were there in February. So why do we celebrate? Here's some things we have to think about. Paganism has corrupted it. Romanism instituted it. Christ's Mass. The Bible does not clearly command, thou shalt celebrate the birth of Christ. We're told to be thankful, to celebrate Thanksgiving. We're told to remember the resurrection. We're told, and we celebrate that. But we don't have a clear cut, thou shalt celebrate Christmas. So paganism has corrupted it. Romanism instituted it. The Bible has not clearly commanded it. And the world has certainly commercialized it. They start, Christmas stands are up in October. And I was reading the church many years ago. I still have them on my shelf back there. They gave me the Exhausted Works of the Metropolitan Tabernacle by Charles Spurgeon. All of his collected sermons. And he has a sermon entitled A Merry Christmas. And he has a text. But in his introduction, I've taken a clip of his introduction. Now, he mentions in here Cromwell. And the English know Cromwell. Cromwell came to England as a hero after conquering Ireland and defeating the Irish. He was beloved of his countrymen. But he became a cruel dictator. And when he died, the English hated him so much that when he died, they dug his corpse up and hung him. Now, I know some people hate me, but I hope that doesn't. Van, don't you let them do that, okay? Van, don't let that happen, okay? That's somebody who's hated. This is what Spurgeon says. Let me try to read it. I wish I made it a little bit larger. This is in the introduction of his message, A Merry Christmas. He says, now, ye souls who would deny your fellow man all sorts of mirth, come and listen to the merry bell of this text. While it gives a license to righteous, to the righteous especially, a license that they meet together in their houses and eat and drink and praise their God. In Cromwell's day, the Puritans thought it an ungodly thing for man to keep Christmas. They therefore tried to put it down. And a common crier went through the streets announcing that Christmas was henceforth no more to be kept, it being popish, if not a heathenistic ceremony. Now, do you suppose that after the crier had made his proclamation, any living Englishman took any notice of it? At least I can scarcely imagine that any did, except to laugh at it, for it is idle thus to strain a gnat and to stagger under a feather. Albeit that we do keep the fest of Pappus, the Romans, Catholics, Catholicism, nor even as the commemorative festival, yet there is something in the old association that makes us like the day in which a man may shake off the cares of his business and dispose himself with his little ones. God forbid I should be such a Puritan as to proclaim the annihilation of any day of rest which falls to a lot of the laboring man, talking about his blue-collar workers. He says, I wish there were a half dozen holidays in the year. I wish there were more opportunities for the poor to rest, though I would not have as many saints' days as there are in Romish countries. Yet, if we had but one or two more days in which the poor man's household and the rich man's family might meet together, it might perhaps be better for us. However, I am quite certain that all the preaching in the world will not put Christmas down. Then he says this, and I like this. You will meet next Tuesday, and you will feast, and you will rejoice. And each of you, as God has given you substance, will endeavor to make your household glad. Now, instead of telling you that this is all wrong, I think the merry bell of my text gives you license so to do. What a great part of Spurgeon there. Now, tomorrow we're going to get up and we're going to open gifts. And as the wise man brought Jesus gifts, we do the same. We exchange gifts, giving and receiving gifts are a language of love and appreciation for one another. It's a good thing. The wise men, they didn't wrap their gifts, however. You know, one reason we know that, because they were wise, and another reason, they were men, you know, so they didn't wrap their gift. And but let me give you this. We celebrate tomorrow, first of all, because of a promise. In the garden, man caused the problem. He took of that which God said not to partake of. And when Adam took that, willfully, defiance, disobedience to God, he hurled all of humanity into damnation. And there's a promise in Genesis 3:15. Always like this, you have John 3:16, but it began with Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise the head, or thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was the promise. We celebrate tomorrow because of the promise. And this is the promise fulfilled. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son. We will be celebrating tomorrow because that promise was given and that promise has been filled. We celebrate tomorrow because of a person. I spoke a lot about this morning. I probably read more scripture this morning than I do in most messages. But in Matthew 1, he says in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We spoke in our last point this morning of Isaiah 9:6 about the names of Jesus. He says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name," singular, "his name," he's all of this, "shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Throughout the Bible gives us the titles and the names of our Lord. Can I share some of them with you? A, he's our advocate. He is Almighty. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the Amen. He is the arm of the Lord. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation. B, he's the beginning. He is the beloved Son. He's the blessed and only potentate. He's the branch. He is the bread of life. C, he's the captain of salvation. He is the chief shepherd. He is the Christ of God. He's the consolation of Israel. He is the cornerstone. He is the counselor. He is the creator. D, he is our day spring. He is our deliverer. He is our desire of all nations. He is the door. E, he is the elect of God. He is the everlasting Father. F, he is the faithful witness. He is the first and last. He is the first begotten. He is the forerunner. G, he is God. He is the good shepherd. L, he's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of righteousness. M, he is the man of sorrows. He is the mediator. He is the messenger of the covenant. He is the Messiah. He is the mighty God. He is the mighty one. He is the morning star. N, he is the Nazarene. O, he's the only begotten Son. He is our Passover. P, he is the Prince of Kings. He's the Prince of Life. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the Prophet. R, he is the Redeemer. He is the Resurrection and Life. He is the Rock. He is the Root of David. He's the Rose of Sharon. S, he is the Savior. He is our Shiloh. He is the Son of the Blessed. He's the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, the Son of Man, the Son of Righteousness. T, he's the True Light. He's the True Vine. He's the Truth. W, he's the Way. And he's the Word of God. That's who he is. And we celebrate tomorrow because of that promise that was given and fulfilled. And we celebrate tomorrow because of the person, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus the Savior, and all these other titles and names. Let me say thirdly, we celebrate because of a purpose. In Matthew 1:21, I love this verse. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We celebrate because we're the redeemed. We've been saved. We're on our way to heaven. In Luke 19:10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." We didn't find God. God found us. We were not seeking God. God was seeking for us, and he found us. We will open presents tomorrow. We'll celebrate because of a promise, because of a person, because of a purpose. He has taken our sins away. He is the Savior. And then lastly, we celebrate because of a power. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he powers to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." This power that we have to live the Christian life, it's not in and of ourselves. There is no power in us. We are weak. We are frail. We are broken. We are a hot mess. I'm not sure what that translates in the Greek or the Hebrew. But let me tell you, there's no good thing in us. But through his power, we have victory. And we have a heavenly home. And tomorrow, as we get excited, maybe you should read the Christmas story. Sit down and read Luke chapter 2. Maybe you should share before the dinner something you're thankful for about the Lord coming. Keep Christ in your Christmas. But as we open gifts and as we express our love one to the other, let's remember we had a promise that was given. We had a person who came. He came with the primary purpose of breaking the chains of sin and our transgressions, and we have the power to be lived. And God's people said, let's stand, we'll be dismissed.